Gerusalemme Liberata by Torquato Tasso. Book 20, Part 2. But now the Moors, Arabians, Ethiops black, of the left wing that held the utmost marge, spread forth their troops and purposed at the back and side their heedless foes to assail and charge. Slingers and archers were not slow nor slack to shoot and cast, when with his battle large Rinaldo came, whose fury, haste, and ire seemed earthquake, thunder, tempest, storm, and fire. The first he met was Asamire, his throne, that set in Meroe's hot sunburnt land. He cut his neck in twain, flesh, skin, and bone, the sable head down tumbled on the sand. But when by death of this black prince alone the taste of blood and conquest once he fanned, whole squadrons then, whole troops to earth he brought. Things wondrous, strange, incredible he wrought. He gave more deaths than strokes, and yet his blows upon his feeble foes fell oft and thick, to move three tongues as a fierce serpent shows, which rolls the one she hath, swift, speedy, quick. So thinks each pagan. Each Arabian trows he wields three swords, all in one hilt that stick. His readiness their eyes so blinded hath, their dread that wonder bred, fear gave it faith. The Afric tyrants and the negro kings fell down on heaps, drowned each in other's blood. Upon their people ran the knights he brings, pricked forward by their guide's example good. Killed were the pagans, broke their bows and slings. Some died, some fell, some yielded, none withstood. A massacre was this, no fight. These put their foes to death. Those hold their throats to cut. Small while they stood, with heart and hardy face, on their bold breasts deep wounds and hurts to bear. But fled away, and troubled in the chase, their ranks disordered be with too much fear. Rinaldo followed them from place to place, till quite discomfit and dispersed they were. That done, he stays, and all his knights recalls, and scorns to strike his foe that flees or falls. Like as the wind, stopped by some wood or hill, grows strong and fierce, tears boughs and trees in twain, but with mild blasts, more temperate, gentle still, blows through the ample field or spacious plain. Against the rocks, as sea-waves murmur shrill, but silent pass amid the open main. Rinaldo so, when none his force withstood, assuaged his fury, calmed his angry mood. He scorned upon their fearful backs that fled to wreak his ire and spend his force in vain. But gainst the footmen strong his troops he led, whose side the Moors had open left and plain. The Africans that should have succored that battle all were run away or slain. Upon their flank, with force and courage stout, his men-in-arms assailed the bands on foot. He brake their pikes, and brake their close array, entered their battle, felled them down around. So wind or tempest with impetuous sway the ears of ripened corn strikes flat to ground. With blood, arms, bodies dead, the hardened clay plastered the earth. No grass nor green was found. The horsemen running through and through their bands, kill, murder, slay. Few scape, but none withstands. Rinaldo came where his forlorn Armide sat on her golden chariot mounted high. A noble guard she had on every side of lords, of lovers, and much chivalry. She knew the man when first his arms she spied. Love, hate, wrath, sweet desire strove in her eye. He changed some deal his look and countenance bold. She changed from frost to fire, from heat to cold. The prince passed by the chariot of his dear, like one that did his thoughts elsewhere bestow, yet suffered not her knights and lovers near, their rival so to scape with out and blow. One drew his sword, another couched his spear. Herself an arrow sharp set in her bow. Disdain her ire new sharped and kindled hath. But love appeased her, love assuaged her wrath. Love bridled fury and revived of new his fire, not dead, though buried in displeasure. Three times her angry hand the bow updrew, and thrice again let slack the string at leisure. But wrath prevailed at last, the reed outflew, for love finds a mean, but hatred knows no measure. Outflew the shaft, but with the shaft this charm, this wish she sent. Heaven grant it do no harm. She bids the reed return the way it went, and pierce her heart, which so unkind could prove. Such force had love, though lost and vainly spent. What strength hath happy, kind, and mutual love? But she, that gentle thought, did straight repent. Wrath, fury, kindness, in her bosom strove. She would not, that it missed or hit. Her eyes, her heart, her wishes followed it. But yet in vain, the quarrel lighted not, for on his hauberk hard the knight it hit, too hard for woman's shaft or woman's shot. Instead of piercing, there it broke and split. He turned away. She burnt with fury hot, and thought he scorned her power, and in that fit shot oft and oft, her shafts no entrance found. And while she shot, love gave her wound on wound. "And is he, then, unpierceable?" quoth she, "that neither force nor foe he needs regard? His limbs, perchance, armed with that hardness be, which makes his heart so cruel and so hard. No shot that flies from eye or hand, I see, hurts him, such rigor doth his person guard. Armed or disarmed, his foe or mistress kind, despised alike, like hate, like scorn, I find. But what new form is left, device or art, by which, to which exchanged, I might find grace? For in my knights and all that take my part, I see no help, no hope, no trust I place. To his great prowess, might, and valiant heart, all strength is weak, all courage vile and base." This said she, for she saw how through the field her champions fly, faint, tremble, fall, and yield. Nor left alone can she her person save, but to be slain or taken stands in fear. Though with a bow, a javelin long she have, yet weak was Phoebe's bow, blunt Pallas' spear. But as the swan that sees the eagle brave, threatening her flesh and silver plumes to tear, falls down to hide her amongst the shady brooks, such were her fearful motions, such her looks. But Altamore, this while that strove and sought from shameful flight his Persian host to stay, that was discomfit and destroyed to naught, whilst he alone maintained the fight and fray, seeing distressed the goddess of his thought, to aid her ran, nay, flew, and laid away all care both of his honour and his host. If she were safe, let all the world be lost. To the ill-guarded chariot swift he flew. His weapon made him way with bloody war. Meanwhile, Lord Godfrey and Rinaldo slew. His feeble bands, his people murdered are. He saw their loss, but aided not his crew, a better lover than a leader far. He set Armida safe, then turned again with tardy succor, for his folk were slain. And on that side the woeful prince beheld the battle lost, no help nor hope remained. But on the other wing the Christians yield and fly, such vantage there the Egyptians gained. One of the Roberts was nigh slain in field, the other by the Indian strong constrained to yield himself his captive and his slave. Thus equal loss and equal foil they have. Godfredo took the time and season fit to bring again his squadrons in array, and either camp, well ordered, ranged, and knit, renewed the furious battle, fight, and fray. New streams of blood were shed, new swords them hit, new combats fought, new spoils were borne away, and unresolved and doubtful on each side did praise and conquest, Mars and fortune ride. Between the armies twain, while thus the fight waxed sharp, hot, cruel, though renewed but late, the Soldan clomb up to the tower's height, and saw far off their strife and fell debate, as from some stage or theater the knight saw played the tragedy of human state, saw death, blood, murder, woe, and horror strange, and the great acts of fortune, chance, and change. At first, astonished and amazed, he stood, then burnt with wrath and self-consuming ire, swelled his bosom like a raging flood to be amid that battle. Such desire, such haste he had, he donned his helmet good, his other arms he had before entire. "Up, up!" he cried, "no more, no more within this fortress stay. Come, follow, die or win!" Whether the same were providence divine that made him leave the fortress he possessed, for that the empire proud of Palestine this day should fall, to rise again more blessed, or that he breaking felt the fatal line of life, and would meet death with constant breast. Furious and fierce he did the gates unbar, and sudden rage brought forth, and sudden war. Nor stayed he till the folk on whom he cried assemble might, but out alone he flies. A thousand foes the man alone defied, and ran among a thousand enemies. But with his fury called from every side, the rest run out, and Aladdin forth hies. The cowards had no fear, the wise no care. This was not hope nor courage, but despair. The dreadful Turk with sudden blows downcast the first he met, nor gave them time to plain or pray. In murdering them he made such haste that dead they fell, ere one could see them slain. From mouth to mouth, from eye to eye forth passed the fear and terror that the faithful train of Syrian folk, not used to dangerous fight, were broken, scattered, and nigh put to flight. But with less terror and disorder less, the Gascoins kept array and kept their ground, though most the loss and peril them oppress. Unwares assailed they were, unready found. No ravening tooth or talon hard, I guess, of beast or eager hawk, doth slay and wound so many sheep or fowls, weak, feeble, small, as his sharp sword killed knights and soldiers tall. It seemed his thirst and hunger swage he would with their slain bodies and their blood poured out. With him his troops and Aladino old slew their besiegers, killed the Gascoigne rout. But Raymond ran to meet the Soldan bold, nor to encounter him had fear or doubt, though his right hand, by proof too well he know, which laid him late for dead at one huge blow. They met, and Raymond fell amid the field, this blow again upon his forehead light. It was the fault and weakness of his eild. Age is not fit to bear strokes of such might. Each one lift up his sword, advanced his shield. Those would destroy, and these defend the knight. On went the Soldan, for the man he thought was slain, or easily might be captive brought. Among the rest he ran, he raged, he smote, and in small space, small time, great wonders wrought. And as his rage him led, and fury hot, to kill and murder, matter new he sought. As from his supper poor with hungry throat, a peasant haste to a rich feast abrought. So from this skirmish to the battle great he ran, and quenched with blood his fury's heat. Where battled was the wall, he sallied out, and to the field in haste and heat he goes. With him went rage and fury, fear and doubt remained behind among his scattered foes. To win the conquest strove his squadron stout, which he unperfect left. Yet loath to lose the day, the Christians fight, resist, and die, and ready were to yield, retire, and fly. The Gascoigne bands retired, but kept array. The Syrian people ran away outright. The fight was near the place where Tancred lay. His house was full of noise and great affright. He rose and looked forth to see the fray. Though every limb were weak, faint, void of might, he saw the country lie, his men o'erthrown, some beaten back, some killed, some felled down. Courage in noble hearts that ne'er is spent, yet fainted not, though faint were every limb, but reinforced each member cleft and rent, and want of blood and strength supplied in him. In his left hand his heavy shield he hent, nor seemed the weight too great. His curt lax trim his right hand drew, nor for more arms he stood or stayed. He needs no more whose heart is good. But coming forth cried, "Whither will you run, and leave your leader to his foes in prey? What, shall these heathen of his armor won, in their vile temples hang up trophies gay? Go home to Gascoigne, then, and tell his son that where his father died you ran away." This said, against 1,000 armed foes, he did his breast, weak, naked, sick, oppose. And with his heavy, strong, and mighty targe, that with 7 hard bull's hides was surely lined, and strengthened with a cover thick and large of stiff and well-attempered steel behind, he shielded raiment from the furious charge, from swords, from darts, from weapons of each kind, and all his foes drove back with his sharp blade, that sure and safe he lay, as in a shade. Thus saved, thus shielded, Raymond gan respire. He rose and reared himself in little space, and in his bosom burned the double fire of vengeance, wrath his heart, shame filled his face. He looked around to spy, such was his ire, the man whose stroke had laid him in that place, whom, when he sees not, for disdain he quakes, and on his people sharp revengement takes. The Gascoignes turn again, their lord in haste, to venge their loss his hand recorded brings. The troop that durst so much now stood aghast, for where sad fear grew late, now boldness springs. Now followed they that fled they that chased, so in 1 hour altereth the state of things. Raymond requites his loss, shame, hurt, and all, and with 100 deaths revenged 1 fall. Whilst Raymond wreaked thus his just disdain, on the proud heads of captains, lords, and peers, he spies great Sion's king amid the train, and to him leaps, and high his sword he rears, and on his forehead strikes, and strikes again, till helm and head he breaks, he cleaves, he tears. Down fell the king, the guiltless land he bit, that now keeps him because he kept not it. Their guides, one murdered thus, the other gone, the troops divided were in diverse thought. Despair made some run headlong gainst their foe, to seek sharp death that comes uncalled, unsought. And some, that laid their hope on flight alone, fled to their fort again. Yet chance so wrought, that with the flyers in the victor's pass, and so the fortress won and conquered was. The hold was won, slain were the men that fled, in courts, halls, chambers high, above, below, old Raymond fast up to the leads him sped, and there, a victory true sign and show. His glorious standard to the wind he spread, that so both armies his success might know. But Solyman saw not the town was lost, for far from thence he was, and near the host. Into the field he came. The lukewarm blood did smoke and flow through all the purple field. There of sad death the court and palace stood. There did he triumphs lead and trophies build. An armed steed fast by the Soldan Yud, that had no guide nor lord the reins to wield. The tyrant took the bridle and bestrode the courser's empty back, and forth he rode. Great, yet but short and sudden was the aid that to the pagans, faint and weak, he brought. A thunderbolt he was, you would have said. Great, yet that comes and goes as swift as thought, and of his coming swift and flight unstayed, eternal signs in hardest rocks hath wrought. For by his hand 100 knights were slain, but time forgot hath all their names but twain. Gildippe's fair, and Edward thy dear lord. Your noble death, sad end, and woeful fate, if so much power our vulgar tongue affords, to all strange wits, strange ears, let me dilate, that ages all your love and sweet accord, your virtue, prowess, worth may imitate. And some kind servant of true love that hears, may grace your death, my verses, with some tears. The noble lady thither boldly flew, where first the Soldan fought, and him defied. Two mighty blows she gave the Turk untrue. One cleft his shield, the other pierced his side. The prince, the damsel, by her habit knew. "See, see this mankind strumpet! See!" he cried. "This shameless whore, for thee fit weapons were, thy kneeled and spindle, not a sword and spear." This said, full of disdain, rage, and despite, a strong, a fierce, a deadly stroke he gave, and pierced her armor, pierced her bosom white, worthy no blows but blows of love to have. Her dying hand let go the bridle quite. She faints, she falls. Twixt life and death she strave. Her lord to help her came, but came too late. Yet was not that his fault. It was his fate. What should he do? To divers parts him call. Just ire and pity kind. One bids him go and succor his dear lady, like to fall. The other calls for vengeance on his foe. Love biddeth both. Love says he must do all. And with his ire joins grief, with pity, woe. What did he then? With his left hand the knight would hold her up, revenge her with his right. But to resist against a knight so bold, too weak his will and power divided were, so that he could not his fair love uphold, nor kill the cruel man that slew his dear. His arm that did his mistress kind enfold, the Turk cut off. Pale grew his looks and cheer. He let her fall, himself fell by her side, and for he could not save her, with her died. As the high elm, whom his dear vine hath twined, fast in her 100 arms and holds embraced, bears down to earth his spouse and darling kind, if storm or cruel steel the tree down cast, and her full grapes to naught doth bruise and grind, spoils his own leaves, faints, withers, dies at last, and seems to mourn and die, not for his own, but for her death, with him that lies o'erthrown. So fell he, mourning, mourning for the dame whose life and death had made forever his. They would have spoke, but not one word could frame. Deep sobs their speech, sweet sighs their language is. Each gazed on other's eyes, and while the same is lawful, join their hands, embrace, and kiss. And thus sharp death their knot of life untied. Together fainted they, together died. End of Part 2 of Book 20.